The conference is now being recorded.
Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to KRBL Limited Q2 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashish Jain, Chief Financial Officer of KRBL Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hello everyone, thank you for joining us. Welcome to the Q2 FY24 earnings conference call for analysts and investors of KRBL Limited. Today we have Mr. Anup Kumar Gupta, Joint Managing Director, and Mr. Ayush Gupta, Head of Domestic Division, as key speakers on the call. To kick off the call, Mr. Anup Kumar Gupta will provide updates on the business, industry and our overall strategy on behalf of Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Anil Kumar Mittal. Following that, Ayush will delve into the perspectives of our domestic business. Finally, I will present the financial overview of the company for the second quarter, Q2 and H1 of FY23-24. Once the management has concluded their opening remarks, we will open the floor for an interactive question and answer session. Please note that some of the statements made during the call may contain forward-looking information and actual results may differ from these statements. For more details, you can refer to KRBL's investor presentation, which is available on the Stock Exchange website and our company website. Now I would like to invite Anupji to share his views.
Thank you, Ashish. Dear investors, good afternoon. The world rice production and marketing year 23-24, despite El Nino condition, is estimated at 518.14 million tons, which is higher by 0.87% against previous year. In spite of higher production, global rice prices continue to be high on account of El Nino threat. The situation is further escalated by geopolitical conditions around the world, which have raised food security concerns for many rice importing countries. Furthermore, the policy responses by many of the exporting countries, especially India, have not been favorable to the global scenario, which has led to further panic and uncertainty into the global trade. According to the latest FAO rice price update report, the FAO All Rice Price Index averaged 138.9 points in October 23, which is higher by 24% than its level a year ago. Just to give perspective, Thailand's 5% broken rice is today quoted at about $560 per ton, which is up by about $149 per ton from a year ago. The government of India has extended its restriction on rice exports as part of its effort to prevent an increase in inflation. India banned the export of non-basmati white rice in July this year amid concerns of a decline in production as well as to lower domestic prices. It is not known as to when the restriction will be eased up. According to some report, for the first time in 8 years, India's rice production is expected to fall this year, that is July 23 to June 24, by about 8%, despite an increase in the area planted mainly due to uneven monsoon. India's rice production in the crop year 22-23 is at around 135.7 million tons. The 23-24 rice production is estimated to drop by 7 to 8% from the previous year. The government of India estimated the 23 tariff rice production declined by about 4% to 106.3 million tons. The total production estimate will be released in February 24. Basmati production for the year 23-24 is expected to be around 14.5 million tons of paddy as per the final satellite mapping report, which is about 8 to 9% higher than over to last year. Despite the overall increase in rice production in the basmati segment, we have seen a general price increase of about 10% this year, which indicates growing demand of basmati globally, including in India. The government has imposed MEP on basmati rice at $1,200 on 25th August 23 and later revised it down to $950 FOB effective 26th October 23 before the start of the new crop sales. The current level of $950 is appropriate for export of basmati rice. KRBL continues to be unaffected by these developments as we are working with our own brands and our price realizations are much higher than the MEP levels discussed. Before the arrival of the new crop, we were of the firm belief that the prices will remain almost the same as that of last year due to higher production and lower exports to Iran due to payment issues. But when the new crop prices opened, were 10% higher and there was a buying demand from the millers including exporters. The reason behind it was the sentiments that there is a global shortage of cereals due to El Nino and prices of all commodities will remain firm. It is still too difficult to predict the pricing behavior of the balanced 60% crop which is still to come, whether the price will go down or they will further firm up. KRBL has taken a position to divide this total purchase into 90 days and accordingly our purchase department procures paddy on a day-to-day basis to avoid any shock of price increase or decrease. To update you on Saudi Arabia, we are in the process of normalizing the distribution in Saudi. As I have mentioned in earlier calls, Saudi market is a 1,000 crore opportunity of which we hope to attain rupees 700 crore in the first year, once both the retail and Horeca distribution is stabilized. Our Iran business was impacted by the restriction on that country. We are trying to find solution and we are confident that we will be able to resolve this issue. Iran is a big market and we cannot neglect this country. In the last 3 months, we are working quite hard to finalize a distributor in Iraq as well, but in the coming year should see some positive developments in export to that country. Regarding our new expansion programs, we have already acquired land in Karnataka and civil work has already started. We have already purchased land in Madhya Pradesh and other formalities are on the way for us to start the civil construction. As we have shared earlier, Kandla project has already been commissioned and started. For any other clarification or information, we will be happy to discuss and elaborate during the Q&A session. Thank you.
Ayush, over to you now.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It is with great pleasure that I present to you the results of our India business for the second quarter of the fiscal year 2024. Our unwavering commitment to excellence and our strategic acumen have borne fruit, propelling us to new heights in the market. Let us commence with the highlights of our quarter two financial year 24 performance, where our revenue excluding power increased to rupees 940 crores. This represents a growth of 35% compared to the same period last year, underscoring the strength of our financial performance. In the core facets of our operations, the basmati business registered a strong 26% growth in volume, under which the consumer pack business and bulk pack business experienced noteworthy growth rates of 13% and 52% respectively. These double-digit growth figures affirm the robust expansion of our brand's retail presence across geographies. Our market share in the traditional trade sector increased to 34.5%, a significant increase of 310 basis points compared to the previous year. Particularly noteworthy is our achievement of highest ever monthly market share of 35.9% in the month of September, giving us the confidence to aim higher and soon reach the 40% mark. Modern trade continues to demonstrate robust performance, maintaining a strong position with a 33.5% market share in September 2023. Our moving annual total for September 2023 stands at a dominant 41.7%, reflecting a remarkable growth of 190 basis points. Our success can be attributed to the synergy of our three strategic pillars, each contributing significantly to our performance. Household penetration levels of the India Gate brand are experiencing unprecedented growth, with an 11% increase over MAT September 23, now reaching 11 million households. Our media outreach program, operating at a dominant 57% share of voice, coupled with a strategic brand communication, are key drivers behind this enhanced penetration. Numeric distribution, a crucial element of our strategy, has reached an industry-leading 54.4%, marking a substantial growth of 650 basis points compared to the same period last year. Our carefully planned distribution expansion measures continue to strengthen our brand's foundation. Simultaneously, as we expand our retail footprint and household penetration, we are diversifying our product portfolio. Our venture into regional rice products has been enthusiastically received by both retailers and consumers alike, resulting in a remarkable 105% increase in sales, reaching revenues of Rs. 55 crores in the quarter. While year-on-year growth appears high because of our small base in non-basmati, we believe we are merely scratching the surface, with significant growth potential in this segment. In conclusion, our India business demonstrates outstanding performance quarter after quarter, underscoring the effectiveness of our well-executed strategy. Our strategic pillars are guiding us towards a promising future, and we eagerly anticipate the journey ahead. We thank you for your continued trust in our company, and we look forward to yet another quarter of sustained growth. I will now hand over to our CFO, Ashish Jain, for further updates.
Thank you, Ayush. I will now take you through the performance for the quarter and H1 ended 30th September 23. All figures mentioned by me would refer to the consolidated financials of KRBL Limited. Total income for the quarter stood at 1,246 crores, lower by 7% over the corresponding quarter last year. Other income in the quarter increased by 61% on account of mark-to-market investment gains and higher yield on investments. Domestic revenue, excluding power, increased by 35% over the corresponding quarter last year to 940 crores. Year-on-year basmati sales increased by 35% in the domestic segment, driven by 26% growth in volume, which was at 1,17,000 NT, and 7% growth in basmati realization, which was at 71,400 per ton. On the export side, Q2 revenue of 235 crores, which includes some one-off, declined by 60% over the corresponding quarter. Outlook for this segment has already been covered in comments of Anuj. Gross margin in the quarter was 29% and was affected by higher basmati unit costs and change in product mix, primarily lower exports. EBITDA margin for the quarter was at 18.3% as against 22.8% in the corresponding quarter. EBITDA margin is marginally lower primarily on account of trend in gross margin, but partially benefited from lower freight on sales. Finance cost for the quarter was at 0.83 crores as against 1.5 crores on account of lower notional interest in lease liabilities. PAT for the quarter was at 153 crores or 12.3% as against 213 crores or 15.9% in the corresponding quarter for the reasons that I've just explained. I will now share an analysis of Q2 versus Q1 of this year. Revenue from operations in Q2, as I mentioned, was at 1,213 crores as against rupees 1,414 crores in the preceding quarter, with domestic sales higher by around 11%, while export sales declined by 56%. Domestic basmati volume is higher vis-a-vis the preceding quarter by around 10,000 NT due to higher bulk pack sales as well as consumer pack sales, while export basmati volume was lower by around 39,000 tons, largely because of no bulk basmati export in Q2. Q2 gross margin is steady at 29%. EBITDA margin declined by 107 basis points due to higher proportion of fixed costs. Now I will discuss H1-24 performance. Total income for the period stood at 2,687 crores, marking a growth of 4% against H1-FY22. Gross profit of the company stood at 28.9%, while EBITDA and PAT margins stood at 18.8% and 12.9% respectively. Margin dropped mainly due to higher input costs. Revenue from operations grew by 3%, led by domestic sales, with year-on-year growth of 26%. Moving on to balance sheet highlights, total inventory as of September 30, 2023 was 2,703 crores, comprising 439 crores of paddy, as against 160 crores in September 22, and 2,110 crores of rice, as against approximately 1,751 crores in September 22. In volume tons, paddy stocks were at approximately 114,000 tons and rice at approximately 32,000 tons. These numbers were 50,000 tons and 330,000. Inventory in hires is higher primarily to meet higher expected demand. Total cash and bank balance, including all investments but excluding equity shares, as of September 23 was at 1,268 crores as against 1,596 crores as of the same period last year, lower primarily due to buyback of 325 crores concluded in quarter 2 FY24. With that, I come to an end of my prepared remarks. I would now like to hand over to the moderator for opening the Q&A session. I would just like to mention that as the ED matter is sub judice, we will not be in a position to respond to queries on this matter. So over to the moderator now.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Karan Premchand Gupta from Cavi Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity and season's greetings to everyone. You know, the domestic performance has been very impressive and congratulations to your team on that. I just wanted to focus a little bit on the export side. I know there were some remarks initially, but if you could just delve a little bit deeper. Specifically, you know, in the last quarter's call, we discussed that a new distributor had been appointed in Saudi Arabia. So if you could just shed some light on how that relationship is going. Particularly, I noticed that there's a recent announcement on the stock exchange regarding some litigation from the distributor who had been appointed prior to that. And then secondly, if you could just talk about the brand strength in Saudi Arabia. You know, we've been out of the market or not as prevalent in the market as we have been earlier. So what are the expectations that once the distributor has been streamlined, you know, whether we'll be able to regain our market share and how you think about that?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, so first, just to clarify, I think we had mentioned on the last call that we are in the process of identifying a new distributor. So, having said that, so as we mentioned in earlier calls, so from our point of view, Saudi on the branded side is roughly a 1,000 crore opportunity. You know, we currently have a distributor there. However, we are in touch with the existing distributor and we are also in the, because there were performance issues with the existing distributor, we were also prospecting for a new distributor. So that process is currently on. You know, and like you mentioned, the existing distributor has filed some litigation, so I will not be able to go into more details considering the matter is sub judice. But we are hoping that we will conclude this quickly.
And I tell you, as far as the brand is concerned, India Gate brand and Babel Hind in Saudi Arabia is a very, very great brand. Even even after 6 months or 3 months we go in the market, to achieve 700-800 crore will be a cakewalk for us. It is the brand recall in the consumer is to the top level. It is only a question of time. I mean, the brand is at the in the consumer mind is at the top level.
Right, sir. I appreciate that. Just, you know, a little bit more granular as to what is the current status exactly? Like, you know, with this litigation, are sales still happening in Saudi Arabia? Is that at a standstill till this matter is resolved, you know, whether with the existing distributor or a new one or however you may proceed?
Yeah, so, you know, we currently have a live agreement with the existing distributor. However, there has not been any offtake by the distributor in recent times. So, and subsequently there has been a litigation that has been filed very recently. So that is the current status. As and when there is an update, we will get back to you.
Okay. And just one last thing. Was there a presentation that was uploaded for this quarter? I didn't see anything on the stock exchange, so just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, I think it should have happened. Let me just check, or must be in the process. But I think it's in the process of upload.
All right. Thank you very much. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Himanshu Upadhyay from O3 PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. My first question is, I think it's 60% fall in exports. Is it only because of Saudi Arabia or other geographies also did not do pretty well for us?
Yeah, I think two points. One is it's not just because of Saudi. You know, there were some exports in the same quarter last year. There were bulk exports to China of non-basmati rice. So as you know, that non-basmati export is not possible currently. So there are dual impact. One is of the Saudi market, and the second major impact is of non-basmati bulk exports which happened last quarter, last year.
Okay. And see, till the time government first export ban was at 1250 and then they reduced it, it led to some price volatility. So earlier the price of basmati for procurement was low and then it increased. Did we benefit out of it, or did we buy more inventory at that point of time, or we did not do anything?
Let me just clarify the question. He's asking that with the government policy on the basmati export side has been changing, so 1200 MEPs and round. Now, what is the impact on paddy prices, and did we benefit from this?
When government announced 1250, exporters boycotted the mandis, and farmers and exporters were on the strike. And for 8-10 days, the market got, the prices were down. And when government announced 950, the prices shoot up. And today, they are 12-13% higher to the last year. And prices are higher, and it is expected that it will go further 2-3% more higher. I think market will close around 20% higher to last year. If you talk to December end, we are anticipating that market should close around 20% higher to last year.
Okay. But when the prices were down, we did not buy much quantities?
So at that time, we all exporters said we should not buy. We have to say to the government, we will not buy if you don't reduce the MEP. So no one was in the market.
Okay. And one more thing. See, we had a bought inventory, and when we have seen the price increase so significantly, our margins have gone down, okay? And last year when what we exported to China was not basmati, okay? That was where the margins are non-basmati, where the margins are generally lower. So our expectation was that in gross profit terms, at least the margins should have improved in Q2 FY24 because whatever we are selling is all basmati and the price of basmati have increased quite significantly. So I could not understand that even when the proportion of basmati is higher. My gross profits have reduced by nearly 5% in the quarter. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I'll just explain. So I think two things have happened. One, as you are right, in the same quarter last year, there was bulk exports of non-basmati. However, I think the key difference this time is that lower export branded sales, you know, which tend to give a higher margin, with overall export revenue lower than last year, that is one major impact on the margins. I think, and the second aspect also, especially to Saudi Arabia, and the second aspect also is that post last season, which is the purchases that were made in October to December 22, the average basmati input cost is also higher. So both these factors have affected the margin in the current quarter.
Okay. But generally the prices are now higher, okay? So would not the margins...
You're right. See, the prices as compared to last year are higher, but the key thing is that for volume sales to happen, especially on the branded export side, that's been muted this quarter.
Okay. And one more thing you stated in the starting commentary, that this year the production for basmati may be 10 to 12% higher than last year, okay? The prices are also higher. But can it happen that after 3 months, 6 months, the paddy prices may fall? And in that scenario, what would be our strategy if that happens? You said that we'll like to buy complete in next 3 months. But beyond 3 months, if farmers start holding, because this is what we saw in cotton. The farmers were holding and post-season, the price of cotton fell.
No, you see, we have directed our purchase department to divide the purchase into 90 days. Generally, 90% of the crop, 95% of the crop comes in 90 days. So we have divided into 90 days and we will cover the stocks in 90 days, whatever our requirement is. So we'll average out everything. And what your question is, the crop is more. So overall, the consumption overall in India, overall globally, it is increasing. And due to the El Nino factor and other security factor, every importing country wants to import more rice for their security reasons, especially Middle East region, they want to import more of basmati rice. So our estimate is the export figures will go up by 7 to 8%, and even domestic consumption will go up by minimum 10 to 12%. So whatever, and the most important thing is carry forward stock of basmati rice was practically zero this year. So going forward, if the carry forward stock is also there, 7 to 8%, 9%, there is no problem. So I don't see any fall in the prices.
Okay. And you are not seeing farmers holding the rice because you yourself are saying the price may increase for paddy.
At these levels, farmer will never hold the paddy. You see the speed, the way the farmers are getting paddy in the mandis, they are getting a very good price. They are getting about 1 lakh rupees per acre. They have never got such an amount in their life. They will never hold such a... They are getting a good price.
Okay. I'll join back in queue for further queries.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shubhankar Oja from SKS Capital and Research Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi. Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, so I wanted to understand for exports for the second half of the financial year. I mean, first half we had a sharp fall in the overall sales. What is the outlook for exports for the H2?
Yeah, so I think, you know, what Anupji had mentioned in his speech is that, see, the key factor that has affected the export side is the Saudi distribution. So I think once that is normalized, we are looking at, you know, gradually building up to a 700 crore revenue line. Now, in terms of timing, we are hoping that we are able to conclude all the existing discussions by the end of this quarter and therefore see a ramp up back in quarter one but we'll be able to sort of give you, sorry, quarter four, able to give you more updates on this as the discussion progresses.
Okay. And secondly, with respect to this non-basmati piece of revenue, we had a 55 crores for the domestic market. What is and how is that base business progressing in terms of and do we have an internal target for some sales figure?
Yeah, so we've taken up a target of 5% of the overall domestic revenue for the first financial year, which is this FY24. And we are quite on track to achieve that. So till H1, we've achieved about 4.8% of the overall domestic revenue as our regional rice revenue. And we are seeing very good response from the market of certain varieties, especially India Gate Vada Kolam, India Gate Jeera Rice, and Govinda Bhog. So we continue to promote that, open new distribution networks, and expand our retail footprint with these products in the market. As I said in my speech also that, we are at a very small base compared to the overall size of the market. So we see a huge headroom for growth. So maybe 200 crores this year is, our targeted top line. I would say in the near short term, which is 3 to 5 years midterm, I would say we are targeting at least 1,000 crores with regional rice as a revenue stream.
Okay, great. And finally, I missed out the inventory breakup in terms of the value. Paddy, you said 140,000 tons and rice 330,000 tons. And what is the value of these?
Yeah, the value of paddy inventory is 439 crores and the value of rice inventory is 2,110 crores.
Got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in this conference call, please limit your questions to two per participant. If you have any follow-up questions, you can rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Kaushik Sekhar from Vermilion Value Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening. My question is regarding your export sales. Actually, if you see in the first quarter of last year, you had mentioned that there was 441 crores of sales which got moved over last quarter of this year, moved out to the first quarter of this year. So if you remove that, then the export drop seems to be further. Now, you have explained as far as the Chinese, the bulk sales and the Saudi go. But if you remove this on the other markets, how are we doing? Removing these one-off factors, on the other markets where there is no discontinuity, what has been the trend in volume as far as the exports is concerned?
Yeah, so I think the other markets continue to perform well. We are not seeing any challenges there. In fact, the demand continues to be strong even in some of the other Middle East markets. So not seeing any challenges on other countries.
And any indication what the growth in those markets would be in the first half of the year versus last year?
So difficult to give market-wise numbers. Generally don't share.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Maheshwari from Sky Ridge Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I have only one question with respect to risk mitigation. I went through the BSE announcement for intimation of the initiation of a case against the company. So just wanted to know, does it help us to have exclusive distributors? If a particular geography's market is big enough, why not have multiple distributors to capture the market? Just wanted an understanding on that. Hello?
Any good and a big distributor wants exclusivity. No, that's the prime thing. Any big distributor, if you want to have a very big distributor who is a who is already doing $1 billion, $2 billion business. He wants to be exclusive dealing with KRBL.
Yeah, and just to add to that, you know, it's not that we have a policy of having exclusive distributors. In fact, you know, there are markets in which there are multiple distributors on the Horeca side. Right, so it really depends upon the, you know, the distribution landscape of that country. So
okay, so it really is not much of a choice when it comes to Saudi. You have to go with a big exclusive relationship.
And it was only a retail distributor. Horeca is different.
Yeah, anyway.
We always diversify retail and Horeca. It's always two different distribution channels.
Any chances of settlement with the existing distributor or too soon to comment?
No, there is no question of settlement. He has put up a very bogus claim. There is no question. We will have to appoint a new distributor. There is no question of any settlement.
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity.
Bogus. Now he has gone to the court. There is no question of going to the same party. We have to appoint a new distributor.
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity and all the very best for you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sahej Grewal from Dabur India. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just had a question regarding the litigation that the company is undergoing from AQM, who is the party which we had appointed. So is AQM the party which we had appointed last year? And what is our current existing relationship with the distributor that we had appointed this year? And are we selling to them right now, or those sales are also not happening right now?
Yeah, ATM was appointed in January 2022. So, you know, we continue to have a live agreement with them. However, there is no offtake by them for the last several months. You know, so that's really the update.
Okay, and this was, the AQM was the retail distributor,
right,
for us.
Yeah.
Have we appointed a separate Horeca distributor as well?
No, not yet. So that, I think, search process is currently on.
Right. Any expected timelines on that?
Yeah, so I think that we are in close discussions with several parties in terms of, and I think, pretty close to finalization for the Horeca side.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Jaspreet Singh from VE Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everybody. Sir, as far as I recall, in last call you had mentioned that by 15th of August, this Horeca distributor would be appointed. It seems that still the Horeca distributor is not there. Any particular reason for that?
Yeah, Jaspreet, I think, you know, what we are looking for is to identify a long-term partner. So we met with several parties, but I think we don't want to rush on this decision. So that's really the status of that particular search. But we are, like I've mentioned, some parties have been shortlisted. We are hoping to conclude this quickly.
Ashish, it seems that your Saudi is totally decimated right now. Nothing is being sold there. And you have not, do you think you should have made a disclosure on the exchange regarding non-appointment of Horeca or litigation with the retail guy?
No, so I think we've made an announcement on the litigation with the retail distributor. I think that's been done. On the Horeca, the status is really the same as what we had explained on the last call, so no significant update.
And can you not bypass this litigation? Can you not still send your material through somebody else?
Yeah, so, you know, as Anuj had explained, the AQM, who is the party which has filed the litigation, there was an exclusive relationship, right? So, and that matter has now become sub judice. So, you know, we'll be in breach of conditions if we bypass.
Okay, right, Ashish, thanks.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question for today. Thank you very much, the members of the management team. On behalf of KRBL Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.